Hi, everybody. My name is Josh Nason, and this is Josh Nason's Punch-Out here on WrestlingObserver.com. Great guest today. Big guest today. Strong guest today, literally. For the first time ever, the world's strongest man, Mark Henry, makes his JNPO debut. And we're going to talk about a very interesting topic, a very warm topic, given what I'm looking at out my window right now after yet another winter storm. We're talking about All Caribbean Wrestling. He is the legit legit CEO of this company. It is based out of the Caribbean, beautiful part of the world. And we talked all about that, why he got involved, the future, and bringing wrestling and expanding wrestling in an area that's not really known for it. So yeah, we chat all about that. A couple questions about AEW. See how his son's doing, his daughter, also a wrestler, a budding wrestler, amateur wrestler in high school, all types of subjects, weightlifting, all kind of cool stuff. So let's get right to it right now with yours truly and the one and only Mark Henry here on Josh Nason's Punch-Out. Enjoy. Well, you might think someone with accomplishments such as competing in an Olympics, not once but twice, winning multiple world and national powerlifting awards, holding world records, wrestling for 25 years, winning the WWE world title, being part of one of the best retirement swerves in history, getting inducted in the WWE Hall of Fame, and coming up with one of the most identifiable catchphrases in AEW history, not to mention being a dad and husband, might be enough for my guest to sit back and enjoy a nice retirement, but it's not. He is one half of the morning kickoff with Mike Hardball Harge and 1300 AM The Zone in Austin, Texas. You can hear every weekday from 7 to 9 local time. You can hear weekly on Bustin' Open Radio. And also, he is the CEO of All Caribbean Wrestling, is the world's strongest man and a great human being in Mark Henry. Mark, I've never got to say this to a WWE Hall of Famer before, so I'm going to do it now. Happy Valentine's Day.
Wow, I never had a dude tell me Happy Valentine's Day. But you left out established chef.
Okay.
You left out trend-setting DJ.
Okay, yep.
And aspiring comedian.
I like it.
So I'm out there. I'm trying to rule the world, man.
I love it. However, I will say, you've never heard Happy Valentine's Day from a fella. I will say, I believe in just 2 months, it's your 25th anniversary, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. I also have to let you know that I know you, obviously, you're being a power lifter and a strongman as you've been and as you are. I'm coming for that deadlift record. I hit 235 personal best the other day. So I'm about.
Ooh, I better start shaking in my boots.
It's crazy. I was looking up some of your numbers today. It was like over 900 pounds, I believe.
Drug free.
That is insane. And it's like for people, 900 pounds for anyone to hear that. That doesn't lift. I just started really kind of lifting last April and kind of focusing, getting into it. And I love it. And then to hear 900 pounds, that is just dedication as incredible.
I'm going to tell you, like, if you picked up the back of a sedan, it's probably about like, you know, between 500 pounds and 600 pounds. If you pick up the front of a sedan with the engine, you can probably add about 800 to 900 pounds. All you got to do is go outside in your yard, find a sedan that you, if you own it, preferably you might want to own it because people don't like seeing people trying to mess with their vehicles. But like, go try to lift the front of a car and clear both wheels off the ground and see what that feels like.
Yeah. Incredible. That's Texas strong.
It's Texas strong, but it's, hell, that's that old country strong.
That's true. It is incredible. Before we get, one of the reasons, the primary reason I want to talk today, of course, is All Caribbean Wrestling, which I'm super fascinated about. I was so excited to chat with you today because it's great to share with somebody excitement of, I know you said this on social media, Chris Bay getting up and walking. And yeah, I was just like,
bro, it just brought a tear in my eye.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I was happy to kind of talk about that real quick and celebrate that. What a story that's still the greatest story ever to be told. What an impressive moment and a great moment, something we needed yesterday.
Yeah, I needed the good news. I needed that. I've seen several people, break their necks and break their backs in wrestling in my life. Two of which died, and for him to be alive and to be able to stand up and walk godly, that's a miracle.
It's great.
It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And he's going to need help for the next, 20, 30 years of his life. If he's afforded to live 50 more years, that'd be great. But just these first 20 years are going to be a struggle.
But
Learning how to walk all over again, and being able to get all your motor functions and strength back. Like it's a lot, man. And he's truly blessed.
I think when it happened, I was talking to a friend of mine that owns a company, and I mentioned that we take for granted people from the outside that we see so much wrestling, it looks so easy, and you know it better than anyone. It's not, and every single time you get in there, it or even just doing brawls on the outside of the ring, there's so much risk involved that we take it for granted. Then these
There's a
things happen.
chance,
Yeah, there's always a
always
chance.
a chance that something could go wrong. You could slip, like somebody can get hurt seriously. And like I try my best not to live taking things for granted. That's one of, like, when you live like every day is the last day, you can get a lot of stuff like I do done.
Let's switch gears into All Caribbean Wrestling. So you are the CEO,
Yes, sir.
the legit CEO, not a storyline
Yeah,
CEO,
this is
legit.
not a storyline. I know pro wrestling, and not just the psychology of it, not just the how you do everything, but I paid attention to the best businessmen in the world of pro wrestling, the storytelling. If you call the production office at WWE, the gentleman that runs it, his name is Sean Selman. And I spent more time in the production office than I did anywhere else in pro wrestling, because I wanted to know how do you do this? Like, who do you call to get this done? And also, I've always been kind of a people person. So I'm not afraid of people, and people like honesty. If I go to you and I say, listen, there's some things that I want to do, but I don't know how to do it. And I need your help. And I might make some money doing it. And if I do, listen, I'm not going to tell you I'm going to give you 20% of what I'm making, but like I'm going to make sure that you're happy. Like, people want to do business with you. Like, you have to be able to negotiate. You have to be not fearful, and you have to be able to have an idea of how to make money out of no money. And when you get some money, then you can really make some money. But and I know that well. I've been very successful in my life, and I'm a leader of men and women. I've been the team captain of every team I've ever been on. I got to carry the flag for the Olympic team. I mean, there's thousands of athletes that could have done that job, but they chose me. And when you like to lead and you don't have an arrogance about it, and everybody has a role, and like you ever watch The Ant Bed?
I'm not sure if I have.
Like, you ever get a chance, watch Ants. Fascinate. Everybody has a role to play to make everything work. Everybody have different roles. No role is more important than the other person's role. That's the way you run business. And All Caribbean has that in me. They also have that in Jeff or JB. Like we both, Jeff is a producer. He's a analyst. Like he does production. He shot film. He knows the technical ins and outs. Jeff don't necessarily want to stand in front of people and say, "Hey, I need money." I don't have a problem asking nobody for money. And when we decided to talk to the ministry, which the ministry is the government of the Caribbean, and I had a couple of meetings with people in the ministry and said, "How can we get the country, the ministry to help us bring something to the communities in the Caribbean?" Man, they were in love. They just wanted somebody to come and have interest in them. And that's what we did, and that's what we're doing. And stuff is rolling. Now we got a TV show that's going to be televised all through the Caribbean. Tempo Wrestling, the first show airs on March the 1st. Like, man, we excited. Like, it's a big deal to be able to talk to. We went to NAFTE in Miami recently. We're trying to get, there's other 500 other markets around the world. We want to be in all 500 markets.
How did you
We
first,
want.
sorry to interrupt, how did you first get involved with this, or how did you first get across? Because they have been around for a while. So how did you first get involved?
Because I study wrestling. I watch so much wrestling that it make a billy goat puke. And I saw All Caribbean Wrestling and I contacted JB and I told him, I said, "Hey man, I like what y'all are doing. And if y'all ever have a something where you wanna, bring me down there to do a little spot here and there, I wouldn't mind coming and seeing what y'all doing." And he was like, "Hell yeah. Like, man, come down." And I went down there as a talent. I went down there to sign autographs and kiss babies and try to bring more notoriety to All Caribbean Wrestling. I did the same thing with ROW, with Booker T's Wrestling. I said did the same thing with Darius Lockhart at Ashe, because I wanted to see the small black companies with black owners do well. And a lot of people don't reach a hand back to try to help people that's behind them trying to bring them along. And JB really valued that and thought that that was pretty damn cool. And we started talking all the time. He just would ask me questions. And I said, "Hey man, I don't work for you, right?" And he just laughed, man, like that. And he was like, "Listen, man, you need to come on and help me do this. I can't do it by myself." And that's how it started.
And what I found fascinating, because there's so many different groups, there's so much wrestling out there, as you know, everyone's trying to stand out, be different. I think this is different because it's an unserved part of the world when it comes to wrestling. I've been to Jamaica 3 times, Barbados once. My wife and I go on vacation there every few years, and every time I go down there, I'm always wondering, is there wrestling here? Is there enough to support it? How can they watch it? And because these are all islands, so it makes it tough to travel and get between and set that up. So what is, I mean, because the Caribbean includes Jamaica, Antigua, Dominican Republic, St. Lucia, Barbados, Turks and Caicos, all these countries, right? It's how do you envision this kind of working with the Caribbean to really kind of make it feel, have that local flavor with all these different countries, and how are you going to make that work?
So we had a show, and there was 500 tickets available. We sold 650, and we
Nice.
had to turn people away. And I said, "We'll never do that again." I said, "We'll never oversell." So the people that had the oversold, that we had to tell that they, there was no room, and we squeezed probably another 50 in there before They said no more.
Yeah.
And I said we needed bigger venues, and so we started doing the shows at the resorts, which makes for more money because they want entertainment and they want the people that are, already investing and staying at their hotels to they get to walk down the hallway and see a wrestler or somebody like, then go to a venue on the property and they don't have to leave and go get great entertainment. Like, that was a big plus. But the people are showing up because we cater to them. Like, you see shows in America and there's no representation. There's no, you see a show and they're, they may have 10 white wrestlers, one Hispanic wrestler, one Indian wrestler, maybe one Japanese wrestler, and one black wrestler. Like, all Caribbean, you pretty much have a 80% black cast. And, these are people that they see somebody that look like them, but they don't act like them. They're like, wait a minute, who is this guy? Why is he so mean? And who is this guy? Man, he's very polished and nice and respectful. Who is this woman? Like, she's got an attitude. And this woman over here is won't set her straight, is not taking none of her stuff. Like, we tell all the stories, but the people look like the people that's watching. And representation matters. And if you talk to me for more than 5 minutes, you're gonna come away from it. Mark Henry is like kind of with it. He understands what it is. We're bringing in white, we're bringing in Hispanic, we're bringing in Asian wrestlers. I just talked to the Rougeaus, and we got a couple of guys coming from Montreal. Like that, we're spanning the globe, but we putting the emphasis on the Jamaican wrestlers, the guys from Trinidad, like Trini Dan, and we've had Caribbean-born athletes reach out to us, and you know who's from the Bahamas? Tim Duncan,
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Hall of Famer, basketball player, and like me and Tim, we've known each other since he started at the Spurs, and like we're just waiting on him to have time off to come to a show. We had three Olympians at a show before from the Bahamas and Jamaica. Like, man, hey, listen, you're a star. You earned the right to get a seat in the front. And I'll take a loss, and we won't get paid off those three or four seats that we put a major celebrity in the front row. And I have people all over that are like, bro, I'm gonna come support you. All right. O'Shea Jackson, Ice Cube's son. People, John Murray, the executive director of the Sherry Shepherd show. Like, man, we moving and shaking.
Yeah,
And
I like.
we have an app. There's not many companies in the world that have one that leads to the social media. The WWE, I think, AEW and TNA, and now us. Like, we're not an indie company. We're a pro wrestling company. I don't want to do indie. I don't want to do a handshake and a hot dog. I want to fundraise and ask sponsors, hey, I need money because I want to pay for this guy and this guy and this girl.
Yeah.
I can't give them $100 and a hot dog. So, like, we're trying to do big stuff.
Do you see it a point when you're opening up training schools down there to get more and more talent to local talent to kind of come up? Because I don't even know what the scene is like down there when it comes to where guys getting their training. Are there schools or people just kind of learning in the backyards? Like how does that work down there?
Yeah, we're definitely talking about JB is already training people. He has a school in Miami. And but we have to get to the islands. We're going to be doing seminars, bringing in athletes and explaining to them what the business is, entails, and what the commitment looks like to learn to be a pro wrestler, because it's not a part-time thing. When you make the commitment to do it, you have to wholeheartedly throw yourself in it, immerse yourself in the wrestling culture and the history of it, and understanding where things came from, why it's called what it's called. Like, it's a lot of studying to be done, and it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take about 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, good long-term plan. But you mentioned already you have the deal with Tempo. So the show you said starting in, on March 1st. So that's great. 1 hour show, half hour show. What's the deal there?
1 hour,
Okay.
and we also are going to start doing some live events in the States.
Okay. Yeah, you got.
We have Altoona coming up in March. We're going to do Dayton, Ohio, Austin, Texas, where I am. And the list goes on. There's going to be cities that we're going to come. And they'll be marketed on major radio and TV.
Nice. Yeah. And also, I see WrestleMania weekend as well. You have a show?
WrestleMania weekend, we will be in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
It's a lot of other stuff that we're doing right now, connected with some other folks. We're gonna, do some hospital visits, and we're taking a skeleton crew to the Arnold Classic on March 27th through
Yeah.
the 2nd, in Columbus, Ohio. We're getting out there. We're letting the world see us.
Yeah. And then the big one this summer, Barbados. You're debuting in Barbados, correct?
We are,
Great
and
country. Great
I'm
country.
really looking forward to that, because we haven't done Barbados yet, and they are excited. Like, the community itself is buzzing. And they're getting other brands of entertainment to kind of jump into the fray of marketing and of us, and showing up. And I'm excited about that.
Yeah. And of course, you know who's from Barbados?
Oh, you
Rihanna.
gotta tell me.
Yeah. Rihanna.
Oh, you know what? I don't know Rihanna. I never met her before.
Not yet.
But not yet. But I'm gonna tell you what, I'm gonna reach out on social media. That's the way you do it now.
Yeah.
You cut a video. Hey, Rihanna, this is Mark Henry at All Caribbean Wrestling. How about coming and hanging out with us in Barbados?
Exactly.
We'd love to have you. We'll put you in the front row.
I love it. I love it. This is great. So you said mentioned a few more questions before we wrap up. You are with Jeff and Miami mentioned the National Association of Television Program Executives, NAFTE. So basically trying to spread the word and get more distribution for the show. And how'd your conversations go?
They went really, really well. We met up with three companies that we will be doing business with. We'll make those announcements here pretty soon. One is a really, 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 really big deal. Everybody knows who they are. And we just, we're happy to have made those contacts. And we don't want to be average, and we don't want to be viewed as a little guy. I don't want that. I never wanted that. I ain't never lived in nobody's shadow in my life. I'm a front runner, and that's Jeff is 100% with that. Like, let's do it as big as we can do it, and we not faking it till you make it. Some people gotta fake it till you make it. We making it.
Yeah.
We there. We just gotta get people to know our product.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very rewarding when some of these kids that are from the countries get to when people get to recognize them more, and I think that's going to be I it's going to be a cool moment, I think, for you leading this thing, for Jeff and for others to see these young kids who may have thought that they're like, I'm going to work in a resort, I'm not going to be able to be a star or do whatever. And then all of a sudden, they chase their dream, and all of a sudden, people recognize them as progress. I see the smile on your face. It's going to be a cool moment to have.
It's gonna be a great moment to have a homegrown product. And we already have a few homegrown wrestlers, but they went out to America and to the States and established a dream and worked and were able to elevate themselves to where we really knew who they were before, the current All Caribbean existed. Now we're going to be able to create brand new people. Right now, our women's champion, Capri, is she's a homegrown Bahama girl, Bohemian girl that is still learning in the process, but she's just good. She's fast, she's explosive, and she loves it. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Beautiful. And when we go dine at a fancy restaurant, we eat with our eyes. Man, we want presentation on the plate. Like, that's another thing that All Caribbean does is we talk about fitness. We talk about, what you look like. And we have people that are wanting to look the best on television. And you see a lot of incredible bodies, male and female, that, they put a lot of work into what they do. So shout out to all the guys and girls at All Caribbean for working so hard.
Yeah, as you mentioned, you got to be all in. And someone I'm sure is all in is your son, Jacob. How's he doing in WWE developmental?
Jacob is doing good.
Great.
He's in college at the University of Oklahoma, so he only goes to camps and
Oh, that's right. NIL deal. Yeah, that's right. Yes.
NFL, little events and stuff. But Jacob is also feeling the bite of not playing football, and is going to go back and play football again this year.
Oh, great.
And I'm happy for him. I was the one that said, "Look, man, you got a wrestling scholarship. Go wrestle. You got a lot of little bitty schools that are vying for you." But then, for whatever reason, bigger schools start reaching out. And now he's like, "No, I want to go play." And I was like, "Well, go play, man. I'm not going to have you regretting me in 20 years."
Yeah.
Even though his dream is pro wrestling.
Yeah.
But he wants to live, and I'm not going to stop him from living.
Not the only child of yours that's into wrestling. I see your daughter, high school wrestler, and she was going to the state championships earlier this month. I have that
Well,
right?
she went to regionals. I got the regional shirt on.
Oh, yes, you do. Yeah.
But she's going to wrestle in about 5 or 10 minutes. That's why I was
Oh,
like,
very good. Okay, got it, got it, got it.
I have to, I can't do a long time right now, but she's going to wrestle. And here in like when we started, the 114 class was in there, and it takes about 30, 40 minutes for them to get to the 152s. And I know that my wife would message me, "Oh, Joe's finna get ready to go on." So I'm not in danger yet. Once I see that text,
I got it.
I'll give you
Yeah,
the wrap it up.
I got
I gotta
it.
see this girl go out here
And
and take
win.
a chance at state.
You got it. One final question. I always want to ask you. You had, as mentioned, you had a great catchphrase in AEW. It's time for the main event. When you look back in your time there, do you feel like it was worth it for you personally, professionally?
Yeah, it was.
Good.
It was highly worth it. I got to be able to work that muscle that of leadership and to be an executive. There's a lot that comes with it. I helped start the AEW Together team, which is the charitable team, which is another thing that we have not truly established yet in the Caribbean, but it's on the way. Like, we're not just taking, we're going to be giving to the communities that we work in.
Great. Well, best of luck to your daughter. Best of luck to you over there in All Caribbean Wrestling. You can check out your social media. I'll share that after. I'll do a clip. Aaron and Marvin's House of Sneakers, something you're involved in as well, a charitable a group that you're supporting. And I take the opportunity to say thank you for everything. You've been in this business for a long time. You deserve all the respect and the accolades you get. And I'm glad you haven't stopped working because you got a long life to live and a lot of things to contribute to the business. So, Mark Henry, thank you so much.
Man, I thank you so much, man. Hopefully we'll see you down in the Caribbean at one of these shows.
Exactly. I got to bring some sunblock though. I can I gotta make sure I don't get burnt by that sun, especially in the
Hey,
summer.
man, long sleeves and a hat, man. That's
But good thing.
linen.
I'll have to bring my wife though. She'll kill me if I don't bring her
Oh
too.
yeah,
But
you got to bring the missus.
exactly. She
She
loves.
gonna be laying on the beach and drinking pina coladas and not have her with you.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, best of luck, Mark. Looking forward to more in all Caribbean wrestling and everything else ahead. Best of luck, Mark. Thanks again.
Thank you for having me.
All right, big shout out to Mark Henry for dropping by. Hope you enjoyed that. We'll love to spend more time with him, but as you mentioned, his daughter was about to wrestle for the state title. He was in Manchester, England, as we talked. And his daughter was just about to, at some point, wrestle for the state title. I haven't heard anything about it on his social media, so I don't know if she won or not. But regardless, it was fun having him on. And again, the feats of strength that he did. And I'm going to share a video just in terms of his, it's a quick, like, 2 minute thing, compilation showing exactly his powerlifting records in the mid 90s. It is crazy. I mean, 900 pounds. I mean, 500 pounds on a deadlift or something like that. That is as tremendous stuff. 400, like everyone lifts at a different rate. These power lifts are some things that they can put up is insane. 900 pounds. And that's just on a deadlift. He did other amazing feats, a clean and snatch. I believe on a squat, I think I saw he may have done 900. It's just, it is incredible, incredible stuff. And I think we overlook those things. And what a career this guy's had. I mentioned at the top of the podcast, but going through his history, he's had so many different kind of types of careers, accomplishments, and so on. He's still kind of doing stuff. It's admirable. And I know, I think he had some comments about Vince McMahon, or there was something that came out where people were kind of like this. I get it. I get it. But I think that shouldn't diminish what he's done and his big time accomplishments and the fact he's had staying power and all. So I don't. I had fun. Hope you did too. And hopefully chat him again sometime. Let's see. We'll wrap up the show. A couple notes. Mark McGuire. If I talk to Mark McGuire, that'd be quite something. Mike McGuire. Mike McGuire. Talk with Mike McGuire on his show on Sunday. He does McGuire Show, MCGUIRE Show. It's available on the radio. Or it's part of the radio segment that he does for his day job in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. So that's fun. I will share that link in the notes as well. And also on Twitter and Blue Sky. And we had a good chat talking all about AEW Grand Slam Australia. And we didn't get too much. We recorded it at 9 a.m. in the morning on Sunday, 9 a.m. Eastern. So Ringgate had not exactly fully taken the form that it did later on in the day. Boy, what a Sunday it was. What a Sunday it was on social and people complaining about this ring. And yes, it looked strange. Mike and I talked about it. It looked different. And again, we've seen 5+ years of AEW and all of a sudden there's a small ring. I guess they've used a small ring before. I saw there's a note for the Thunder Rosa, Britt Baker. I believe it was the cage match they did when Thunder Rosa won the title. But I could be conflating that in San Antonio. I think they won. It was either that, the St. Patrick's Day Brawl that they did. I read somewhere that they had did this smaller ring before, which, whatever. But it looked different. Of course, the mats being lighter on the side made it look like a lot smaller than it was. However, if it affected your viewing of the show, you're trying too hard. And a lot of people, again, this happens in anything AEW, people just try way too hard to pick every single thing apart. There's criticism there, just over all the promotion going into this. The merch has been a big thing I've seen, and merch seems to be a thing that even 5 years in, the company still struggles with in terms of just how to manage it, how to leverage it. I mean, the examples he's used, when WWE signed Penta, that mask immediately was a hot seller. And you would think that, 5 years in, again, with all the contacts that the cons have, They could just outsource merch, similar to what WWE did with Fanatics, and find a way to do this and find a way that you're serving your fans and giving them things that they didn't even know they needed yet. Or when you're going to things like Australia, how do you build for scale? And how do you do this in a way that your fans that want to buy merch are going to be able to do that and you just generate more income? Those things seem to be quite obvious. It didn't affect me because obviously I didn't go. But I can see if you're a fan, you wanted to buy some things. Yeah, you might be bummed if you're there because you never know. You have no idea when they're ever going to come to Sydney, Australia again. They'll obviously be back in the country next year. I would assume it is going to be one of the bigger cities, or else they would have mentioned Brisbane in the announcement that came on Saturday. But you know, with the ring stuff, I look at that. It was absurd, ridiculous that people complain about this stuff, and it was just an anomaly. But you know, AEW does need to do a better job of killing the narrative when it starts getting out earlier that they use, you know, a broken down indie ring and that they forgot their ring, and you know, things that just perpetuate online and just it take a life of their own. You know, it's okay to kind of, I would say, get in the muck, but from a higher level, get it out there earlier. Eventually, the story did get out later. Fightful reported that they did not forget the ring and so on. And kind of clarified this was obviously intended to do the small ring and what have you. There is, but that could have been done much earlier in the day because this story was perpetuating like overnight and then into Sunday. It just took a long time at that point. You know, anyone that could have been swayed to believing it was probably already swayed and they may have not seen the actual real news and so on. So yeah, I just, there was a lot of mistakes, I think, going into this, a lot of confusion that shouldn't be when it comes to shows and how you'll be able to watch a show, the pay-per-view aspect versus not pay-per-view aspect and so on. I just have a hard time believing it was just meant to always be just a TV show. I understand you're not going to do a pay-per-view first thing in the morning, but a streaming special on Max, I will hold true. I think I said this on Mike's show. The show should have been available live on Max. Airing it, I you could have obviously aired it after after the All-Star game, as you did and so on. But I don't, the spoilers were out there all day. And people knew that Toni Storm won the title for the most part. And they knew the results. They knew everything happened and blah, blah, blah. So again, it's 2025. I think at this point, if you have the ability to stream, turn the switch on, just do it. And this is what people expect. Now, even if you're doing Raw when they go overseas in about a month for the rump to WrestleMania, and they're doing some Raw and SmackDowns from Europe, and they're airing live in those countries, they should air live around the world. There's no reason you have to stick to it. It has to be at 8 p.m. Information moves fast. If my Red Sox, if they're playing in Japan in the spring, in some days they do games, the Major League season kicks off in a different country. They're not going to air those at 7:30 at night just because that's how we're accustomed to watching them here. They're going to air them live. So wrestling should be no different. Time to kind of advance that a little bit. And that was a failure, I think, here. But yeah, overall, you know, good show, good crowd, and interesting stuff coming out of it. The gate was very intriguing. I wonder how much, you know, the promotion, I wonder how much that they got in guaranteed money to go there. So there's just a lot of questions about that. We'll talk more, I'm sure, about in the months ahead. But yeah, I wish they would do a better story of kind of killing some of these bullshit narratives, frankly, about things like ring size and indie rings and the ring being bent and all these things. Just unforced errors that can be cleaned up easily. Big thanks to Mark Henry. Thanks to all of you for listening. You have a lot of choice in your podcast day. I greatly appreciate the time you spend with me or any of the fine hosts here on WrestlingObserver.com. Until next time, which will probably be next week, I think, maybe 2 weeks after, insert catchphrase here.